This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Health and Living, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Heart attacks are often seen as a problem that comes with age. But recent news has many of us worried about the possibility of heart attacks striking people who are, you know, viewed as really younger. So why would seemingly healthy and fit people suddenly collapse? To help us find out more about this, we are speaking to consultant cardiologist Dr. Haizal Harun Kamar. Thank you for joining me, Doctor.
Hi, Sharmila. Thank you very much for having me.
If you have any questions, if you have any thoughts about heart attacks, about cardiac arrests, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 7733-2900. So Doctor, maybe we can start with the basics, yeah? So
yeah, sure.
What is the difference between a heart attack and a cardiac arrest?
A cardiac arrest happens when there is a sudden loss of heart function. And heart attack happens when there is damage to the heart muscle wall tissues due to a loss of blood supply, sudden loss of blood supply.
Mm. And on a related note then, what is a sudden cardiac death?
Sudden cardiac death is an unexpected death that happens presumably due to a heart condition, a heart cause. And in this case, the most common cause of sudden cardiac death is actually a heart attack. So what happens in a heart attack is that there is a plaque rupture, the plaque that happens, occurs in the coronary arteries. It ruptures and there's a blood clot formation causing a sudden cessation of blood flow. And that causes no blood flow to the heart muscle and the heart muscle dies. That's a heart attack. And that can actually disrupt the heart electrical system and the heart may quiver and beat very fast, dangerously fast. And it can effectively loss of function. That's what happens in a sudden cardiac arrest, leading to sudden cardiac death.
Mm. So when it comes to a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, are the symptoms similar? Are they different?
Well, sudden cardiac death is a sudden occurrence. It's unexpected. It usually happens within the first hour of the onset of symptom. And in this case, if it's a heart attack, it happens within the first hour after the onset of chest pain. Now, heart attack, a typical symptom is like a heavy sensation in the center of the chest. Most people think the heart is on the left side. Mm-hmm. Actually, the heart is in the center of the chest. Occasionally, slightly over to the left, and it radiates up to the neck in some instances, and also to the left arm, associated with profuse sweating, cold sweat, feeling a bit of dizziness, a feeling of doom, and excruciating pain. That's a typical symptom. But unfortunately, that only happens in about half of patients coming with a heart attack.
Mm.
The other half probably won't have any pain at all.
No pain at all.
Yes, especially those with diabetes, for instance. Or they might have some pain over to the left side of the shoulder or left arm. So it's difficult to know exactly whether it's a heart attack. Those individuals, yes.
And if it's a cardiac arrest, would the symptoms again be different?
Cardiac arrest happens suddenly. Okay, it happens when the heart for instance, in a heart attack, there is a loss of blood supply to the heart muscle, and that heart muscle is damaged, and that particular heart muscle dies, and the heart quivers. It beats dangerously fast, so it loses function. So it can happen suddenly.
Mm.
So you might have pain in the chest. And say for about half an hour, and suddenly you will just collapse.
Mm.
So that's what happens in a cardiac arrest leading to sudden cardiac death.
And because we're talking about people having heart attacks being younger, would the symptoms maybe vary if you were younger than that average age?
Well, I would say about 20, 30 years ago, most heart attacks happen in the age of 50s and in the 60s. And as we all know, that this week, our lifestyle, where we do not pay too much attention in like exercising, good food, and some of us smoke, for instance. So we see heart disease in younger population, especially in the last 10, 20 years. Where I work now, the hospital I'm working is surrounded by quite a young population. So I see patients in the 30s, even 20s with full-blown heart attacks.
Mm.
So you're getting younger and younger.
Right. Is there a common age group for heart attacks?
Well, for Malaysians is about 50s and 60s still, but we are seeing younger and younger population, yes.
Mm. And do you see a difference when it comes to gender?
Well, heart attacks actually affect both men and women. Actually, the number one cause of death in women is still heart disease. And what most people think is cancer. Mm. Well, I'm not trying to downplay cancer, breast cancer, cervical cancer, ovarian cancer, but statistics say that 1 in 3 women will get heart disease, whereas maybe 1 in 13 will get breast cancer, for instance. Mm. So men and women are both affected by heart disease. Only that, because of certain hormones, women are protected from getting heart disease at an earlier age. So after menopause, women may get heart disease just as common as men.
Mm. And I have heard, though, that women may experience the symptoms differently.
True.
And what are some of those differences?
Well, I mentioned earlier that heart attack symptoms and symptoms of like crushing chest discomfort or pain in the center of the chest, or maybe slightly to the left. For women, it might be more to the left or more on the arm or up in the neck. I've had patients come to me with heart attack but had pain in the jaw and nowhere else.
Mm.
You know, so they went to the dentist first, for instance, you know. Yeah, so for women, the symptoms are not very typical, so they do not present to the hospital earlier compared to men, because for some reason, you know, when you have pain, it might not be heart, it's not suspected for women.
So you mentioned earlier that we are seeing, younger and younger people coming in with heart attacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's something that we've also been hearing about in the media. You know, tragically, for instance, recently, yeah, actor Ashraf Sinclair passed away. He was 40. Godfrey Gao passed away, I believe it was last year, due to a cardiac arrest, but it was believed. And he was only 35. Is there a sort of, what is the age group that's becoming more common in terms of a younger profile?
Right. First of all, we do not know what's the actual cause of death for these two individuals. It's very unfortunate. And it is thought that for anyone above the age of 35, coronary artery disease is still the main cause of death.
Mm.
Okay. For a younger population, like younger than age 35, there are other causes of sudden cardiac death. For instance, the inherited problems such as the hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. It's a long name. What it means is that it's an inherited condition where there is an abnormal thickness of the heart muscle.
Right.
Okay. Hence hypertrophy, cardiomyopathy, where for some reason, we don't know what the trigger is. There is a disruption in the electrical system of the heart, making the heart to beat dangerously fast, quiver, what we call ventricular tachycardia or ventricular fibrillation, leading to sudden cardiac death. Now, that is the most common cause of young sudden cardiac death, age of 35 and below. But as I mentioned earlier, because of lifestyle disease, we see coronary artery disease as well, even younger than age 35.
Mm. So coronary artery disease is basically clogged arteries.
Yes.
Right. So that's happening with younger people as well.
Yes.
And are you going to say lifestyle?
Yes, lifestyle such as smoking, lack of exercise, eating, not eating the right food, not having a good rest, maybe a stressful life as well.
Mm. Do you see more of a concern with your younger patients about heart attacks and cardiovascular issues?
Yes, because it's mainly because I feel like these are sort of preventable,
mm-hmm,
you know, such as smoking, for instance. We see a lot of young people smoking. We thought that we could overcome this by cutting down the ads and all that, but it seems that the trend of smoking is not getting any less from what I see. In fact, not just youngest population, even women, more women are smoking, I feel. So we feel that the incidence of heart disease may not get any less because of this.
Mm.
So yes, it's a bit worrying.
Right. So do you think that perhaps younger people are not as concerned as they should be? Are heart attacks or cardiac arrest more associated with older people?
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, a lot of us are more aware of it now, but unfortunately, there are a lot of young people here think that, hey, hang on, I'm only 25, I'm only 30, it's not going to happen to me. I think it's a real problem for us.
So we have someone who's WhatsApped in, David. He says, I'm 23 years old and I don't do much regular exercise besides walking. What can I do to help reduce my risk of heart problems?
Okay, there are a few. By identifying the risk factors for heart disease, like I mentioned earlier, smoking, lack of exercise, eating bad food, not having enough rest and sleep, I mean less than 7 hours a day, those are possible risks of getting heart disease. So make sure that, you know, your lifestyle will be, you know, you have regular exercise, eating the right food, maintain a good weight, and abstain from smoking or people who being near and people who smoke.
Mm.
Yeah. So as long as you have a good lifestyle, you should be fine. And of course, I mean, if you have any of those risk factors, see a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for more advice.
Mm. There are some cases, though, however, where a young person may not have a family history of heart disease, or they may not have heart disease. They may not actually be exhibiting any of the risk factors. Could there be a reason why they would have a heart attack anyway?
Yes, but you know, sometimes we don't know. We don't know exactly why. Half of my patients, for instance, who come in with a heart attack at any age, they do not have any symptoms before that, and the other half would probably have, say, chest discomfort when they climb stairs, when they walk in the mall, and do some work, when they get angry, when they argue in the meetings. But half of them do not have any symptoms.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know.
Well, speaking of symptoms, actually, Donna just WhatsApped in to ask, what exactly does the pain in the left arm feel like? Is it like muscle pain? Is it prolonged or a short while?
I can only tell you what my patients tell me.
Mm-hmm.
It feels heavy, sometimes a bit like an ache. You can get some numbness in the left arm, tingly sensation. But it's usually associated with other symptoms as well, like sweating, for instance, yes. So not just an ache in the arm.
And what about when it comes to things like hypertrophic cardiomyopathy? How does it differ when it comes to younger people versus when it happens to someone older?
It's about the same symptom. It's difficult to detect unless that person goes for screening. It is sometimes detected on just a simple 12-lead ECG, an ECG that, you know, when you go to the clinic or the hospital, it only takes literally 5 minutes or less.
Mm.
From there are some patterns on the ECG that would tell that, you know, you might have this condition called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Of course, the way to diagnose is to do an ultrasound of the heart called an echocardiogram.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, all these incurs cost. So what I would suggest, advise anyone with a family history, a close family members with sudden death or presumably due to heart, i.e. sudden cardiac death, to see a doctor and, you know, go for some kind of screening.
We do need to take a quick break, but just one question before we go. AZZ wanted to know if there's a relation between heart attacks and hyperthyroidism.
Right. Hyperthyroidism is an overactive thyroid. And if it goes, it becomes very, you know, uncontrolled. What happens is your heart will get very, very fast. It will beat very fast. It will probably go into what we call heart failure rather than heart attack. Heart failure is when the heart cannot cope with the demand of the body as a pump. Okay. So it's more of a heart failure rather than heart attack.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. We will be back after a quick break. And we will be speaking more about heart attacks amongst the young. So I'm speaking to consultant cardiologist Dr. Haizal Harun Kamar. This is Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Health and Living, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. We're talking today about the possibility of heart attacks striking the young. What with news emerging lately of seemingly fit and healthy people suddenly collapsing. So I have with me consultant cardiologist, Dr. Haizal Harun Kamar. Thank you, doctor, for joining us.
Hi, Sharmila. Thank you.
And if you have any questions that you'd like to ask the doctor, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 7733-2900. So, doctor, you know, earlier you'd mentioned the symptoms and some of the risk factors.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what are some of the red flags that signal that a young person is at high risk of cardiac arrest?
If there is a family history of a close family members with sudden cardiac death, then, yeah, that is a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And if that person has any symptoms, is leading an unhealthy life, like smoking, obesity, lack of exercise, and so on, those are risk factors for getting heart disease. So we should do something about that.
Mm. So one of the things that we tend to also hear about, and I suppose when it happens, it does get highlighted in the media quite a bit, is stories of athletes, of people who are undergoing intense physical activities suddenly suffering a cardiac arrest. Now, what impact does intense physical activity have on the heart, and can that lead to a cardiac arrest?
It's actually quite well known that high-intensity exercises, and one in those untrained, secondly in those with underlying heart condition, can actually lead to sudden cardiac death.
Mm.
The problem is these are seemingly fit individuals and they probably do not go to doctors to go for heart screening. So it's very difficult. I mean, do we do that for every athlete or do we do that for only the professional athletes? It's difficult to know. And of course, I mean, when we talk about the incidents that you mentioned earlier, because those are public figures. So when it's in the media, people think it's a common thing in athletes. Whereas if you look at certain countries, certain statistics, it probably happens for those young athletes who get sudden cardiac death. It only happens in about 1 in 100,000.
Mm.
Some even 1 in 300,000. Depends on which statistics, which countries you look at. So those are not big numbers, but when it happens to a public figure and it's in the media, it seems like, so common.
Mm.
Having said that, you can look at that and say, look, you know, if they had known that they had this problem, maybe it could have been prevented.
Mm.
So back to the same thing again. If you feel, you know, if there is a history of a family history of unexplained death, especially at a young age, then we should, you know, this individual should go for a medical screening.
Is there an age beyond which you think they, you know, this is the time to start going? Is it 20s? You know, should it start earlier?
If there's a family history of sudden cardiac death, as early as the age of 20,
Well, this is a question I think you addressed earlier, but I think it's always worth talking about again. Someone wants to know, what is the specific effect of smoking on the heart?
Well, smoking has got 4,000 over chemicals, and a lot of it are actually poison, arsenic, carbon monoxide, and so on. And they act to actually cause plaque buildup, together with other factors such as hypertension, diabetes, and so on. So this plaque buildup will occur over weeks, months, years. And so the arteries which were once patent, I mean, completely okay, and then over years and months, they will become clogged up. And smoking plays a role in that. So smoking causes other problems with the health as well, to the lungs, and can cause cancers and all that. But for the heart specifically, that's what it can cause.
Mm. So to go back to someone actually having a heart attack, what should we do if we're in a situation where someone near us seems to be having a heart attack or going into cardiac arrest?
Well, if you see someone who has the symptoms that we mentioned earlier, the chest pain, sweating, and so on, and he doesn't have any heart problem in the past, and you suspect he has, okay, first of all is to bring him to the nearest hospital ASAP. And the other thing is, if at all there is aspirin, aspirin tablet in the house, in the office, anywhere, and ask that person whether he's allergic to aspirin. If not, then crush the aspirin and ask him to swallow.
Mm.
Now, why do I say that? Because aspirin has been shown to help, you know, to reduce mortality in those with heart attack. And that's only been discovered somewhat 40 years ago,
right?
As recent as that. It's one of the first medicine used to treat heart attacks.
Mm.
Amazing. It's one of the cheapest medicine in the planet.
Right.
And it's most effective.
So if there's aspirin first, and then take them to the hospital call 999.
Well, bring to the hospital. Yeah. And of course, if there's aspirin nearby, I mean, because you need to bring the person to the hospital immediately.
Right.
Because we mentioned earlier that sudden cardiac death, cardiac arrest happens usually in the first hour, or even earlier than that, actually. So we bring to the nearest hospital ASAP.
Mm. Should we attempt CPR?
CPR, yes, only in those who are unconscious. And of course, it's a bit difficult to explain in the space of the time that we're given,
mm-hmm,
how CPR is done.
Mm.
But CPR is cardiopulmonary resuscitation. We should do it if there is a sudden cessation of blood flow. I mean, when the heart stops and there's no more blood that goes to the rest of the body, to the brain, then we need to do CPR immediately, not in somebody who's awake.
But if the person present doesn't really know how to do CPR, though, is that something that they should try?
They should try. Yes, they should. Well, I'm not sure where we can actually get classes here, but I was just on the way here, I was looking through the internet. There are some classes being conducted on how to do CPR for the public. I strongly urge that, you know, the listeners here to actually equip themselves with knowledge of how to do a CPR, because it may save lives.
We have a question from a loyal listener, Kelly. And she says, I noticed that when I have a lack of sleep, i.e. less than 6 hours, I get palpitations and can feel my heart beating irregularly. My pressure reading will also be low, usually around 100 over 60, and I get breathless. Does this mean anything? Is there a relation between sleep and heart health? She's 25 years old.
There is a direct link between lack of rest, yes. I mean, it's quite well known that you need at least 7 hours sleep. And of course, another study says that if you get too much sleep also, you might get into trouble as well. But yes, 7 hours is supposed to be the ideal time. And yes, if you get lack of sleep, sleep is when your body gets energized, re-energized, and your body immunity works and all that. So yeah, we need rest, we need sleep.
So long term, is there a connection between consistent lack of sleep and the risk of heart attacks?
Directly, it's difficult to prove, but yeah, the associations of lack of sleep to heart disease, it has been proven, yeah.
We have another question from a young person, and I think I'm getting some insight into the issues that they face. This person asks, can long-term anxiety conditions heighten the risk of heart problems?
Directly, no. But when a person is anxious, he's probably stressed. And when you are stressed, you do things you're not supposed to do, like smoking, drinking alcohol, lack of sleep, eating the wrong food, fast food, and so on. So it depends on how you cope with stress and anxiety. But anxiety per se does not directly cause a heart attack.
And can psoriasis cause a cardiovascular accident on a healthy person with no other diseases or comorbidity?
Not that I know of psoriasis. Directly, no.
Okay. So to get back to heart attacks, what is the prognosis for a younger person who had a heart attack, and how does this compare to people who might be older?
From my experience, the younger ones fare better, perhaps because of the coping mechanism in the body, and the younger heart, younger everything, is compared to somebody, say, 60, 70 years old, who probably has disease which is a bit more widespread than a young person anyway. So yeah, but having said that, if help does not come early, even the young may not survive.
We do have a caller on the line. Hi, we have Siva.
Oh, yeah, hi, hello.
How are you, Siva? Do you have a question for the doctor?
Yeah. I was being diagnosed with hypertension, where my blood pressure is at the high side most of the time, okay? And, I'm on medication as well. So my question is, if I can maintain my blood pressure at the, safe side, or probably at the lower side, with the help of the medicine, can I say that I'm quite safe from heart attack?
You are safer when your blood pressure is controlled, yes. But there's always, there is no guarantee. And you have to look at other aspects as well, whether your cholesterol is high, whether your sugar is okay, and the exercise and your weight management and so on. But yes, definitely, if you control your blood pressure, you have minimized the risk of getting heart disease.
Thank you for that, Siva. And getting back to that question of younger people and their prognosis, what is the likelihood of another heart attack happening or having other cardiovascular issues if you're younger and you've had one heart attack?
Anyone who's had a heart attack has a higher risk of getting another one compared to somebody who has not had a heart attack. That happens, that is true for any age. Yeah, and of course, after a heart attack, if you do not address the risk factors for getting heart attack in the first place, the risk of getting one is, you know, another one is that much higher.
Mm-hmm. We have someone else who has WhatsApped in. She says she's a 24-year-old female with a family history of heart disease. My pressure is consistently low. My normal readings are usually around 90 over 60 something, and sometimes it's 100 over 60. This is normal for me. My pressure rarely goes higher. Is this something to be concerned about?
I don't think so. The blood pressure could be normal for you. And how do you know whether it's normal or not is to go for a medical checkup when you feel you're well. Mm-hmm. And that's when we have a baseline blood pressure. So if you feel well, you don't feel dizzy with that kind of low-ish blood pressure, then it's probably just normal for you.
Right. What measures can be taken to prevent heart attacks in the young?
The same measure that we for any age group, to be honest. We mentioned earlier about, you know, exercising. The World Heart Organization suggests 150 minutes of exercise a week. Mm. Of course, it depends on what you mean by exercising. It's moderate exercise, 150 minutes. So if you divide that and say 5 days a week, that's about half an hour a day, 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Okay, but can I just say that if you've not started exercise this before, start gradually. Just be sensible. Mm. And then build up to a level that you feel comfortable.
Right. So you've mentioned exercise, you've mentioned quitting smoking.
Yes.
What about food?
Food intake, yes, of course. For formulations, when I speak to my patients, I said, remember the 3G, the gula, garam and goreng.
We all love those.
Yes, I know. And go for the veggies, the colourful veggies. Mm. Go for, the fruits. And those low cholesterol, low sugar, low salt, yeah.
Do you find it more difficult to convince young people of the importance of starting these things young?
Not really, actually, because a lot of the young people, the ones I've met and known, they are more health conscious now than I think they were about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. A lot more of the young actually go to the gym. Unfortunately, some do smoke, though. But they go to the gym and they choose the right food. And certainly, I have a son. My youngest is 19, and he eats salad, and he puts me to shame. Again, he's 19, and you know.
Yes, yeah. My young producer Sue-Ann, who's sitting here, is certainly better at keeping healthy than I am. She's smiling. I do have a question from a listener who wants to know whether children can also get heart attacks.
Children, by definition, what, below the age of 18?
I suppose below the age of 18 would be children, yeah.
Most unlikely. Yeah. I mean, if they do get sudden cardiac death, it's because of what we mentioned earlier, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And two other conditions that might cause sudden cardiac death in the young as well are actually abnormality in the coronary arteries. Coronary arteries are the arteries that are on the surface of the heart. They get compressed because of the position of the abnormality when they were born, compressed when they exercise and all that, they cause sudden cessation of blood flow to the heart. And then the third cause of sudden cardiac death in the young is inherited condition of the electrical abnormalities like the long QT syndrome and Brugada syndrome and so on.
Right. You mentioned, we have a listener who's WhatsApped in to ask, you mentioned aspirin for heart attacks.
Yeah.
Do you swallow it or keep it under your tongue and how many?
Okay, aspirin is the usual 300 milligrams that you get from the normal pharmacy. It's best to crush it and then swallow or ask the person to chew and then swallow. Okay, just to let you know, I have two aspirins in my wallet. Okay, and I have aspirins at home as well. Mm. So just in case if anybody needs it, God forbid I do, but you know, if somebody else needs it, and I have it on me, yeah.
And Vasudevan texted to ask, he's 53 years old, diabetic for the last 20 years, smoker 15 sticks per day on average, occasional drinker. I play 6 to 8 types of sports, 6 to 8 sports per week, he says. But recently, my resting heart rate seems to have gone up to about 100 beats resting, and I've begun to feel anxious about it. What could be the cause and what are the risks associated?
Right. Well, first of all, you need to go for a checkup because we need a bit more information than that. We need some blood test to see whether your sugar is actually controlled, whether your blood pressure is really controlled. But it could be the overall fitness because heart rate is there's a direct relation between fitness and heart rate as well.
Mm.
Because if you think you exercise, yes, fine, but it might not be enough for you. So we need a bit more information than that.
Well, we do need to take a break again, but we will be back with Dr. Haizal Harun Kamar. We are talking about heart attacks amongst the young. This is Health and Living on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, and we are talking today about the possibility of heart attacks among the young. So I have with me consultant cardiologist, Dr. Haizal Harun Kamar. And if you have questions to ask him, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 7733-2900. So I was going to ask you this, but we've also got someone WhatsApping in about it. What are your thoughts on the use of statins in prevention of heart attacks in younger adults?
If the cholesterol level is high, then yes, I would suggest to start. But again, it's best to consult your doctor because you know a doctor will be the best person to advise you whether you need one or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but I do believe statins has a role to play in prevention of heart disease,
even with the younger people.
Even with younger people, yeah, especially in familial hypercholesterolemia, familial hyperlipidemia, those are, when you inherited the gene that at a certain age, the gene gets switched on and suddenly your cholesterol goes sky high.
It
can lead to heart disease.
And Jonathan wants to know, like you mentioned about aspirin, whether we should keep statin pills on standby.
Statins, aspirin is a medicine. It's a drug that can be used as an emergency in case of heart attack. Statins actually is to prevent heart disease from happening in the first place. So not as a for emergency, no.
Right. And on that note, actually, someone else wants to know, if someone didn't end up having a heart attack but was given aspirin, is that going to be harmful?
It will only be harmful if that person is allergic to aspirin. So, yeah, please ask whether that person has allergy to aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if no, then there's really nothing to lose. Even if somebody who's got a history of ulcer, for instance, yeah, you won't get a bleeding ulcer just by taking one aspirin.
Right.
It might save life, though.
Mm. To get back to this, the idea of how to detect heart attacks, how effective is early screening in reducing the risk of either heart attacks or cardiac arrests?
Oh, it's very, very effective. Yes, it's very useful. That's why anyone with, actually for men now above the age 35 and women above the age 40 should go for health screening. In fact, earlier, if you have a family history of heart disease or have any risk factors such as smoking and hypertension and so on, you should go for screening much, much earlier.
What are the screening tests that can be used?
Specifically for heart?
Yes.
First of all, it's a blood test. Make sure that we check the cholesterol, blood sugar. Those are two important things that we need to check.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to do an ECG. ECGs have got very limited use if it's done when you're resting, because a person who's got blockage in all the three main arteries can have a perfectly normal ECG lying down. So a stress ECG is more important. What happens in a stress test is when you go on the treadmill and you're connected to the ECG machine. Now, that's a very useful test. A lot of my patients say, look, I'm not fit enough to do this. I let me go, and exercise for the next 3 months before I do that. It has nothing to do with a test for your stamina. We just want your heartbeat to go fast, your heart to stress your heart, and we look at the ECG. It's a change in the ECG that we look at.
Mm. Can ECGs have false positives, though?
A lot, yes. Mm. Even a stress test, for instance, the mean predictive accuracy is probably about 73-75%, so that we get wrong in about 1 in 4.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, we cannot do CT scan or angiogram for everybody, whereas stress test is something which is quite accessible
and
cheap.
Are ECGs done only, with several risk factors being present? Would there be other things, sort of maybe just a physical exam or family history? Would that be enough?
Well, definitely before the screening test, there will be the doctor will be asking certain questions. You mentioned about the family history, social history, any possible risk factors, any symptoms. Those are very, very important because most of the time you can diagnose heart disease in 2/3 of the time, perhaps even before tests are done.
Mm-hmm. You know, who are the people who should consider undergoing these tests regularly?
Well. Anyone above, for men above the age 35 and for women above the age 40.
And you mentioned people.
And those with risk factors.
Right.
Yes.
We have someone on Twitter, Sky Live, asking, I like long endurance sports. Is it bad for my heart, as some have suggested?
Well, long endurance sport is good. It's more of a cardio type sport. But whatever exercise that one does, do it gradually at the start, you know, and then build up. Whatever you do, just, you know, do not overexert yourself too much. If there is a concern, and what I suggest nowadays in view of, you know, all the media and about sudden death in athletes, is to see a doctor. I cannot emphasize that enough. You know, if you feel you're unsure, you might as well see one.
Jonathan asks, I think in relation to us talking about ECGs, you mentioned a CT scan. He wants to know, when would a CT scan be needed?
Okay, a CT scan should always, personally and professionally, I feel that it should only be recommended by a doctor, because a CT scan, it can give very nice 3D pictures, very beautiful pictures of the coronary arteries. But you must remember that it has a very high radiation. Okay, it's equivalent to you having a chest X-ray between 100 to 400 times, depending on the machine. So if you just want to go just for a screening, I do not suggest that at all. You know, so the CT scan should be reserved only for those who the cardiologist or the doctor think that he would benefit from it. Say, for instance, he goes for a stress test and it's equivocal, meaning 50-50, not sure whether it's or that, then yes, CT scan is the way.
In relation to something I think that many of us think about, can high stress levels cause a heart attack?
High stress level, I think we mentioned this, something similar to the anxiety. If it's chronically high stress, then, you know, you probably will not lead a healthy life because you won't have time to think about how to be healthy. You probably, when you're usually highly stressed because you're highly stressed at work, so you probably won't have time to exercise. You won't have time to prepare a good meal. You go for fast food. You probably resort to a bit of alcohol or smoking. Not everybody, I'm just saying, yeah, it could be. So yeah, high stress, it leads to unhealthy living, a healthy lifestyle, causing heart disease that way rather than directly.
Right. We do need to wrap up.
Sure.
But, you know, as a final message, is there a reason for us to worry about heart attacks or cardiac arrest striking people of a younger age?
Yes, I think not so much worry. We should be concerned. We should be more aware now. And we should take steps to actually prevent this and help those around us to prevent these things from happening and just spread the message.
Thank you, Dr. Haizal.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with consultant cardiologist Dr. Haizal Harun Kamar on the phenomenon of younger people suffering heart attacks. If you've missed any part of this interview or any previous segments, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my, on our BFM app or on Spotify. You've been listening to Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.